Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Universe Podcast. Charlotte is celebrating. What is she celebrating?
33 episodes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Good. I'm also celebrating. Woo! I'm your host, Leo. I almost forgot my name. Here with my co-host, Charlotte.
Hello.
And our guest today, Amadea.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Amadea, it's been a while since you've been on the podcast. Would you like to remind our listeners of who you are?
Yeah. So reminding us the point here. Mm-hmm. So I am an English and history student at the University of Vienna. I am studying in the teacher's program and also in the BA English and American Studies.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Taking what you just said, that you are in the teaching program, I was wondering if you think that creative writing will benefit you as your work as a teacher, or how it will benefit you.
I feel like creative writing, it kind of gives me a flexibility in the way I teach, because, you know, language is a lot about expressing yourself, mm-hmm. and finding ways of communicating your thoughts. And when I consider creative writing, it is this creative approach to language that gives you so much more than just, for example, writing an article. When you write an article, you have certain structures that you have to follow. And in a way, I feel like my students are limited. It helps them, I think, also to develop their language skills. But at the same time, when it comes to creative writing, they can hone their skills in a different way that goes way beyond this usual textbook, oh, we're writing an essay. And I really think that this could later help me teach English to my students.
So you're still intending to be or become a teacher, because you're also in the BA, and as far as I know, you also are research assistant, project assistant.
Yeah, I used to. You know, the project is now ending.
Okay.
And we're almost done with everything that we had to do for the project. So for our listeners, I'm also working at the University of Vienna, or better, used to work at the University of Vienna as a research assistant for a project which was about creating best practice descriptions of teaching methods. This project, it was really cool because I got to meet a lot of people and I also learned a lot about language. Mm-hmm. You know, all these descriptions are written in English and also in German, in Italian and Portuguese.
Oh, nice.
So what I did was I translated a lot of the English versions into German, and I also wrote a lot of the English versions. And I realized that the way you describe things, it's so pivotal how you can communicate to other people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when you have a method that is really simple, but it takes you hours to explain what's going to happen, nobody's going to read it. And what I learned a lot by doing this description was to focus my own language and to really be on point in what I'm saying. And so coming back to your school context, I actually intend to become a teacher. I don't know if I will want to be a teacher for lower secondary and upper secondary. I actually would love to teach at university, because creative writing at university has helped me a lot. And academic writing is also something that you really need at university, and it's taught a lot, you know, at the English department.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not so much at other departments, though. I feel like the writing component is a bit lacking in many other departments. They kind of throw you into the cold water as far as that is concerned. You're just expected to, you do learn how to write an essay in school, but there's a difference between an essay and like a proper paper.
Especially in sciences, I noticed that when I was proofreading a lot of my friends' master thesis, and most of them are scientists, and to me it was really interesting of how little knowledge they had on how to structure
mm-hmm.
a piece of writing, mm-hmm. like things that I could do in my sleep because I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that was really interesting.
Science writing is also something different than totally. From like our papers.
Totally, but like starting sentences with but oh. works never.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't and matter and. If you, yeah. And that was stuff that happened. I just wrote them a note, don't start a sentence with but
mm-hmm.
ever, ever, ever again. Because that's very bad.
Okay.
And yeah.
Mm.
I think I find very interesting what you said about allowing them to use creativity in school to improve, but then again there's always the problem that as a teacher you have to teach them certain things like certain text types and there's very little room for creative writing. I mean, I kind of like the course books because they often include, or at least every now and then include, some creative writing tasks, but even those creative writing tasks aren't really creative because they always give you a prompt that fits into the unit that you're currently doing, and then if that topic isn't interesting to you, then the writing won't be.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I feel like that today's, when you look at how English is taught in school, it's so much focused on the matura
mm-hmm.
and on getting everything done that will be on the matura, and usually that are not short stories or poems,
no.
which is such a pity because you lose out, you miss out on so many things.
I agree.
So you not only teach and write, but you're also on the committee of the universe. Yes. What is it you do here? I ask as if I didn't know.
Well, so I am the social media manager of Universe, which means that whenever you see a post on Facebook, or probably also get an email, it will be written by me. And yeah, I take care of everything concerning public relations. I also have help, you know, it's like Leo recently took over the Instagram that we had, because I just couldn't do it. It would be way too much work to have all those platforms.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How do you think creative writing ties in with that? With writing Facebook posts, mm-hmm. writing tons and tons of emails. Have you ever? I mean, your emails are quite creative too.
Really? Do you think?
I mean, they're fun at least. They're not just like the bare minimum of what is needed for communication. There's also, I don't know, jokes in there or flowery language.
I think I wouldn't see it necessarily as creative writing what I'm doing on Facebook, because what I'm doing on Facebook is using language for specific purposes. You know that we have this course at the English department, the what's it called? The English and Professional Context course, where we learn about how to use language in contexts where there are transactional relationships. I would see Facebook as an environment where you can use language that is creative, but still you need to, it has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, it's that we get messages across, that we get people to actually attend our meetings. And if I just write a post saying, oh, hi, next meeting, this and there, send in your text till blah blah, I doubt that so many people will be interested because it's so plain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I also noticed is that this also comes in from my academic background, that you need to be really focused in what you're saying and how you're saying it. Usually when I write a post, I construct it in a way that I use the most important information and construct a message around it. And usually the most important information is right at the beginning. Because when you do not have the information that you want to get across somewhere where the reader starts reading, he probably will lose interest and the message doesn't come across. And everything that's less important comes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I learned. It's not something that I learned in a course. It's something that I learned by doing all these posts and realizing, oh, this post didn't have a good reach. Maybe I should change something about how I write it.
Mm-hmm. So a learning by doing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So now that we've talked so much about what you do apart from writing, let's talk a bit about your actual writing.
Mm-hmm.
What is it how would you describe your writing if you had to?
I am a really private writer. You know, I don't know how many poems or stories I've shared with the universe at the meeting. I think it's very few. Because when I write, it's for me, it's very personal every time I write. And oftentimes I do not have the need to share it. It's just, it's there and I wrote it and I'm happy about it. But sometimes I also like to get feedback on things that I write. But most of the time it's really private, as I said, really personal. And also what I noticed in the last few years is that I used to think that I'm a storyteller. I still think that I'm a storyteller. But back then, for example, in high school, I thought, oh, storytelling, that equals short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, storytelling is telling short stories or telling stories via novels.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I develop in becoming a writer and becoming a writer, do you ever become a writer?
I don't know.
No. The more I develop my writing, I realize maybe it's not that strict. Boundaries between prose and poetry are not that strict. Mm-hmm. And now when I write, I often write poetry, which is really surprising to me, because I always used to think, oh, I'm so good at telling stories, maybe I should write short stories. I really appreciate writing short stories, but it takes me a lot of time and a lot of thinking, and it's so complicated when I write a short story that I often just go for writing a poem instead, because often it's even more effective. And that's what you also find a lot in my poetry, is that it tells stories. There's usually a narrative element in it.
And do you still know what the first piece of creative writing was that you ever wrote?
That is such an interesting question, because I honestly don't know. I think it was in primary school.
Wow, that early. Cool.
But I don't know if that counts, because I think it was a diary entry where I wrote a really strange poem. I don't even remember, but I remember that I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always used to write a little bit besides school. And also what I often did was that I got assignments from school and I somehow turned them around and made something creative out of it. Sometimes it worked really well and my professors were really nice and they loved it. And sometimes they were a little bit angry because I obviously didn't listen and I didn't follow the prompt. And then I got to university and what happened was that it just stopped because I had all this academic writing that I had to do. And I just completely forgot, in a sense, about creative writing. And then universe happened. Also, this amazing course at university that I took where I just fell in love with creative writing. And I've been doing it ever since.
Do you have a favorite place to write?
Not really. I don't think that I'm one of these writers that just sit down and write something from beginning to end. When I write, I just collect thoughts and I sometimes write them down on my phone and come back to them afterwards. Or sometimes I just sit down on my laptop and just type something. And usually it doesn't make sense in the beginning. And then after typing, for example, lines of three words each. Now sometimes I just write these lengthy word documents where I just write down everything that I'm thinking. And usually it's already poetry style. I'm doing this with poetry. My working process for short stories is way different.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I write short stories, I constructed it in the beginning.
Oh, wow.
And amazing. It takes me a lot of time to construct it. Because what I notice is that when I don't do this, I lose track of the story and I just lose interest in the story and I will never finish it. So I need to have a plan for a short story, and for poetry I just write down everything, and then I have a word document that's 20 pages long and I just pick out the most gripping and captivating and stances that are, for me, expressing the thoughts that I want to express.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I would love to have a poem that's 20 pages long. Like, that would be so cool. You know, it would be so in Ginsberg style. Just
you know, the thing is that it's not a proper poem. It's just two words per line, and then I just have blank space, and then
just
again
play around with conventions and do whatever you want, like the Beat Poets did, and nobody will ever mind.
Mm-hmm. No, I also think that's a great. Great kind of technique. It's your kind of diaristic writing somehow. If you're writing down your thoughts, and I like taking from it what you find best. That's interesting. I think I might also try that at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Somehow, writing at a computer isn't really conductive to this kind of writing for me.
Hmm, interesting.
How do you write? Do you write on paper?
Yes, by hand. And
always?
Pretty much always. And then it's writing by hand is obviously much slower. And then while I write, I think about what I'm writing. Mm-hmm. So do you think about what you're writing while you're writing it out?
That is a good question. Well, obviously, yes, I'm thinking about what I'm writing, but I'm not consciously thinking about, oh, I need to construct it in this and that way. I don't know. I just write, and sometimes I listen to music, and then it just starts flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different, as I said, when I write short stories, because that is way more constructed.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
But a question for you, how do you deal with when you write something down and you realize, oh, this doesn't make any sense? Do you just cross it out and keep on writing?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you...
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually do so much editing on the spot. I think about it as I write and before I write, and then sometimes I cross out individual words. Or mostly I think it comes at a later point. When you keep on writing, and then you notice that a couple of lines earlier there was something that didn't make sense or didn't work with the way the poem is going now, or as I write I see the lines above, obviously, and I find the line isn't too great and have a better idea, then I cross it out and write it in the space between all the lines or in the margins or somewhere there.
That sounds so organized.
It's not really an organized process.
Well, I could never do this. I could never do it. Usually what I do is that when I write down a poem on paper, I think in the end I couldn't even read my own handwriting anymore because it gets so messy because of all those thoughts coming in. And I just write and write and write, and this also happens to me when I plan essays. I usually write. That's interesting, actually, because when I write essays, I write down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I never plan essays on the computer. That's interesting. But then in the end, I have a sheet of paper. Often it's five sheets of paper where I just scribbled down everything, and nobody would ever know what the essay is going to be about because it's so messy. But that's just how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But with poems, I prefer to do it on my laptop.
Mm-hmm. I've recently bought, I also plan out essays on paper, and I've recently bought A3 paper for that, and it's so amazing.
Wow,
it's so
cool.
Great. Are you serious? Great idea.
I can do huge mind maps.
Nice.
I once brought one of these plans to class because we had to discuss our essays and how we planned it. And my lecturer came to me and she was like, oh, it looks like you were really busy with that. But that's just how it works. And I think it's a fine for everybody to find their own way of coming up with thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now that we know how you write a poem, shall we go to the poem that you're going to read us today?
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't have a title yet, so we'll hear it and maybe we'll come up with a title later.
Yeah, I actually wrote it yesterday. There were parts that I wrote before, but I assembled it yesterday.
Okay.
That's what I do, assemble it. Okay, so there's no title. Let's start. Your story matters. That's not what I got told. What I got told was, writing is not a job. Telling stories even less. Describing roses in the palms of your hands is the fiction your life doesn't need. 5 years pass in the blink of an eye. Untold stories fuel the spray of the sea and mask the myriad till they raise their anchor and untie their knot. Crumbling in bits and pieces, cracking its bones, tearing its letters, I stand upon the words that are the wind of my soul. My DNA is a narrative. I spread its wings on brittle decks, expanding its sparks, setting sail. A piece left behind, something scattered, filling the blanks of ourselves. I find my bare feet on concrete, yet I remain at sea.
Thank you.
Wow, that was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I like it a lot. Also, I find myself saying that very often recently, that it works very well read out.
Yeah.
The poem does.
You know, there are sometimes these poems that are not meant to be read out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
So that's why I brought this poem, because I felt like this is a poem that needs to be read out.
Mm-hmm. I also like the way that you read it.
Oh, really? The way you read
it. It was nice. Very deliberate. Was that thing you tried? Did you try and read it out before and then maybe make it, I don't know, make the lines or the words fit the way you wanted to say it?
When I wrote that poem, I had the sound of the poem in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote it down, I spoke it. It was not that I had the words in my mind, but I had it in my voice. So I just wrote down what I spoke, and this was just the process. I didn't think much about this poem. It just came to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to write it?
Well, this poem is it's a little bit mysterious because you do not know exactly what's going on. And the beginning, I think, is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's about telling stories. And with that poem, I just wanted to describe what it feels to tell stories and what it feels that you have this need to tell stories. But also what it feels like to tell stories and then suddenly realize that probably you might lose parts of the stories when you're telling it and you're giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that happens when you tell stories. It changes and it will never be the same story again after you told it to mm-hmm. somebody. So sometimes it's about this question, do I keep the story to myself or do I want to share it and probably change something for this other person that I'm telling it?
Mm-hmm.
So that line where you say writing isn't a job is not just something somebody tells you as a person who writes, but it's also something you tell yourself in a way because you are torn between sharing and not sharing your work. And
yeah.
By it becoming a job, you must share.
Yeah,
it.
Definitely. I think it would be really scary if I became a writer. Because right now I'm just writing for pleasure. I'm just writing because I like it. But if I become a writer, I have this pressure of putting out work that people like. And I don't want to be the person who writes just because they want to make money with it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, every writer, I think, has this inner passion that
mm-hmm.
makes them write.
Of course, yeah.
But when you are a professional writer, you need to do it because you need to pay your bills.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea of having writing as something in that's so binding.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
You know, it's great when you can you pay your bills by writing. This is so awesome, and I would love to do this. But I don't know if I could deal with the pressure that comes with it.
you say there's your poem's a bit mysterious and that there's not just one theme. Do you think this is reflected in your use of metaphors? I mean, we have the most prevalent thing is sea, water, ships, but there's also the physical manifestation of words, there's the wind, there's DNA. What do you think? Was that on purpose, or did that just happen from talking about different things, that then automatically you may also use different metaphors?
I think I have to answer this question in two parts. So the first part would be about this metaphor and this lexical field of having ships and oceany things, having the wind and the sail. This is so much about actually the anthology that we just published. Because when I advertised for it, at some point, in the Facebook post, at some point I use these metaphors about sailing and having the wind in our sails, which are the voices of the writers and the passion and the inspiration of the readers. And I love this metaphor so much. So I use this metaphor about setting sail to advertise for the anthology. And this is just a way of remembering that anthology and that we published it and the reasons why we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sail also is about having stories that just drive you further. And there's always this movement that goes with it. So the second part of my answer then is concerning the DNA, because that's a totally different metaphor. I don't think that you would usually connect C with DNA. But for me, this line came from a discussion that I had with my sister. She's currently taking her matura. Actually, I think literally right now taking her oral matura.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to her. I hope you're doing fine. And she is having her exam in biology.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me a lot about DNA and how all these parts get assembled and the different chemical components. And it was really interesting. I didn't understand anything because I forgot everything after I graduated. But it was so captivating how she narrated that,
mm-hmm.
because she was so into all the details. And at some point I just thought, oh, my DNA is a narrative. And then it just picked off from there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I really like the sentiment that you think of your DNA as a narrative, because not only, I don't know, as people, we construct ourselves in narrative, but also your DNA literally kind of is a narrative. If you look at your DNA, there is certain factors that we then put into stories. We can say this is where we came from, this is maybe, I don't know, the features of your body that you can read out of DNA, but it turns out differently, like stories then do.
Also, it's a part of what makes you a writer, and I say that because everybody who writes per definition is a writer,
yeah,
regardless
definitely.
Of having published something or not. So your DNA itself is one of the reasons why you're here today and why you like writing. So I think that's a really nice connection too, to like talking about your DNA being a narrative, but also it's the reason for writing.
Yes.
In your case.
Yes, it's part of the reason why you are here, actually. And stories, they govern our life. You
mm-hmm.
know, our entire life is a story. We are now here in the present, and the past is long gone, but we can tell the stories about it, and this is just what we are, you know? When you tell somebody, oh, I'm an introvert, they usually ask, oh, and what do you do as an introvert? And then you tell them stories.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of your poem, you say something like, people are telling you that writing is not a job. Has this been an issue for you, that your surroundings doesn't react well to writing as a habit or as a potential profession?
No, actually not. I think my parents are really proud that we published 2 books now, which is just amazing, just considering that we did it all on our own.
Yeah, I agree.
And we're not professional. Yeah, we're really cool. Shout out to the universe.
Whoop, whoop.
My parents, they are just so proud, and we are not doing this professionally, which is just amazing, I think. What was the question again?
Whether your surroundings have ever reacted negatively to writing.
Well, as a writer, I think it's sometimes hard, because when you get to university or in general in school, as we just talked about earlier, there are all these standardized prompts, and you need to write about these 3 points that are in the prompt, or otherwise you get point deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have a really awesome idea and you want to talk about it, no, you can't, because you have to write only about these 3 themes that are in the prompt. So this is from my own experience, that I just struggle with prompts, and now I have adapted to it. Now I can write an essay that fits perfectly on the prompt, because I know that my time to write creatively is a different time. This is just academic writing that I'm doing, but I still try to include creative writing, which is so cool, because sometimes I really manage to do it well. Sometimes it doesn't work that well, but sometimes it's really cool in the end. But so far, there haven't been any people who told me, oh, better get a real job or quit creative writing or do not write.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever told me that. But, you know, it's just like people telling me this is not a job. It's cool being a writer, but it's not something that can pay your bills.
I think it's really interesting, because I mean, that's something we hear everywhere. From the moment you start kind of developing an interest in creative writing, you will hear people telling you, maybe not people in your direct surroundings, but like on television, on film, in films, like everywhere you will hear, okay, this will not be a profession for you because you can't like make money off that. And then it's really interesting. I think my family never really was against it, but I think I myself recently have come to think, I've always kind of fancied myself being like a published author. And recently I really thought about it, and I was like, do I really want this? Is it really what I want? Because you also touched on that, and I was on like not being sure if you want that yourself. So I find the question very interesting that you asked, Leo, because I sometimes ask myself, am I even that kind of surrounding that tells me, don't do this, this is not a real job? So I'm kind of torn between, is this coming from me? Is it coming from outside? Do I really want this? So yeah, I think that's something you also deal with, probably, because you said you also don't know if you really want to be a published author.
Well, published author, yes, but not doing it with a contract and
I see.
All the bureaucracy involved, and having the obligation to write something that people like.
That makes sense. Do you sometimes participate in writing competitions or something like that?
No, I'm way too unorganized for this.
Okay.
Well, not unorganized. Rather, it's I'm not having the time for it
to
properly do it, because I'm really perfectionist. When I'm writing something for a competition, it would need to be really good. And I often don't think that I could do this with the limited time that I have.
I see.
Okay. So I just rather keep away from it. And also, as I said, I'm a private writer, and I sometimes don't need to share it.
Yeah, I get that. I also don't share everything. Do you sometimes find yourself in a situation that you would like to have more time for writing in general?
Definitely. There are sometimes moments where I'm on the tram, just rushing from one course to another course, or to the library or anywhere, where I just think, oh, I would love to write this story, but I don't know when. And you know, you can type down the ideas on your phone because that won't be lost. But in the end, you have so many ideas after it as well that you totally forget about this. And that's a shame. And I think I could have written so many cool stories and poems if I had just had the time.
Yeah, who doesn't find themselves wishing for more time to write?
But, I mean, to be honest, even if I had more time, I know that I wouldn't entirely devote it to writing as much as I could. I would still surf the internet, and I would still watch TV shows, and I would still, I don't know, write messages to people instead of writing. So I think, to some extent, it's an excuse that we all have.
And also, and then I, because the edge doesn't go away even though you don't have time. Right now, my phone, my notes app on my phone is filling up with ideas. The time will, hopefully, fingers crossed, the time will come when I can finally have a nice moment, sit down, and just get to work on those ideas. And I hope that I'll still have the connection to those words that I feel now.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Fingers crossed.
I think we all have those ideas that we really want to turn into a poem or story, but we never did. And I'm just asking myself, why is that? Probably because for me, writing is, it's hard. It's not something that I, often I don't like writing, but it's something that I need to do.
Is there any place where you can, you put your writing when you finally got to it?
How do you mean,
on the internet? Where people can find your writing?
No, I don't have an online representation of my writing.
Okay, but you can find your, the listeners can find your writing in our anthology.
They can find it in the anthology, yes. I have a little, I don't know what it is. It's not a short story. It's not flash fiction. It's something between poetry and prose in our first anthology. And also a poem in our second anthology.
Nice.
And the second anthology is available now at Facultas and the SDV of the English department, I think.
And soon, I think, also Shakespeare and Company and Phil.
By the time this episode comes out, it's probably also available at Shakespeare and Company and Phil.
Yeah.
How about you, Charlotte? I ask you every time, have you... taken back to the interwebs?
I haven't, but what has developed is that I've recently thought about it more and that I consider putting something up.
Your blog is...
detintenfish.wordpress.com.
Okay. You can find me, my tweets, at Leo Engelmeier. I don't have a place where I put my work, but I do the Instagram account where I... put up quotes.
Well, if we see it like that, you can also find me on Facebook via the official universe.
True.
Universe Facebook page and group.
Yes, but
those are my
words. Instagram
is
not just not just my writing. But today, today's quote post is a very short poem of mine.
Oh, cool.
Yes. This was episode 33 of the Universe podcast. If you enjoyed it and would like to hear more of us, make sure to subscribe to the Universe podcast wherever you're listening to it. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review to tell us what you think and help other people find the podcast. And tell all your friends about it. Comments? Questions? You can reach us on Twitter, we're at PodUniverse. On Facebook, on Instagram, where we are uni.verse_creativewriting, or on our email address, podcast@universe.onib.org. This podcast was edited and hosted by Leonhard Engelmeier. The co-host was, as she so often is, Charlotte Zerz. And our guest today on the episode was Amadea Brenner. Thank you very much for being
here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you visit this planet and the universe again. In the meantime, stay safe in space. Thanks for listening.